Hey there, people of the interwebs. It's me, Brandon Noel. I know it's been a while since we've uploaded. That's my fault. I've been preoccupied with my other projects. I apologize for that. You know, we ran two Kickstarters for Gumshoe Magazine, Black and White Anthology. Please check out our books. If you like our book reviews and analysis, check out the ones we've written. Everyone at this table's written part of an 8-bit pulp short story anthology. My wife and I have both written novellas. I've written about 18 comic books and a couple of graphic novels. So, you know, if you like our analysis, check out our books. Store coming soon. Our old store, we had, I'll be honest, Wix wanted to charge us way too much to keep that store running. So we're in the process of updating our online store. But, hey, you know, check out the books. Check out our Kickstarters. Thank you to those who have been supporting us for our Kickstarters. Gumshoe Magazine was just successful earlier this month. So with that said, we're getting back on track. This book is The Chestnut Man. I'm going to throw an explicit advisory on this one. This one's a pretty graphic, violent murder mystery. I know Netflix did an adaptation of it. We recorded this before the Netflix adaptation came out. The author is Soren Svenstrup. I apologize, my Norwegian not so good. But it is a very graphic and dark murder mystery. With that said, I hope you enjoy this podcast. It's been a while. We're back. The Bookies.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, looks like you're coming in.
Cool.
Do you want to sit on
the... Yeah, do you want to sit up there so that you're closer?
I don't know that that'll be any better.
Well, at least that way you'll be closer to the microphone.
Say something, Wayne.
Do what? Which what?
Is it better?
You're good, yep.
You might want to turn your video off. I don't know if it's going to affect my battery or not, but, I mean, I didn't have my video on because it uses my battery faster. So.
Okay, just a second.
It doesn't matter. I just, if I have the video on, you're just going to be staring at the fan with the lights. It's going to make you dizzy.
So low cup.
Just
the Walmart version?
It's the
Walmart cup.
Yeah, it's Sam's cup.
And where'd that ice bag go?
The ice bag.
It's in the dispenser.
Just use the dispenser.
This dispenser?
Yeah, it got put in the...
Oh.
What's wrong with you guys?
It was turned off by mistake.
It turns itself off once in a while.
So I was about to say...
Because when it fills up...
It's got a lever.
It's got a lever that when the ice is still up, stops. Then it gets stuck there. It doesn't go down. You have to... If you don't catch it, then we run out... Hey, why are you out of ice? Oh, man!
I was about to say, that thing's new. That thing should still be under warranty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
So, with Wayne on the phone, where is he going to go into the order?
We can put Wayne
first.
That works.
Well,
no, it's Maylene first.
Okay.
So, he can go after Maylene.
That makes sense.
That works. So, me and then Wayne. Okay, got that, Wayne?
Okay.
You're going to come in after me, okay?
Okay, Maylene and then Wayne.
Yes. And then everybody else around the
table.
I'm going to go your way. You, me, Justin.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Okay, sure, whatever.
We'll go clockwise.
Okay.
That's what we've been doing.
Actually, I usually go counterclockwise.
We usually do.
Whatever.
Somehow.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All right, okay. So, introduce us, Brendan.
All right. We are the Bookies.
I'm Maylene Noel. Wayne,
your turn to introduce.
Wayne
Abraham. There you go. Connie Stallard.
You're screwing up already, Wayne.
What's
David McFarlane.
Justin Stallard.
Brandon Noel, and we are the Bookies this month. We are reading The Chestnut Man by
Soren Sveistrup.
Soren Sveistrup.
Close enough. Close enough.
Creator of the Killing, which is another thing that he did. So, Maylene, this was your book. You put this in the proverbial hat. Why did you recommend this novel?
I hadn't read it before.
But how did you find it?
I found it, I was just kind of, originally I found it when I was just scrolling through Amazon. I was just seeing what books they had. And then I was like, oh, that kind of sounds interesting. And then I saw it again at Barnes & Noble. I was like, okay, well, I thought it sounded interesting on Amazon, and let's save me, you know, paying for shipping. So,
I honestly thought this was found at the dollar store.
Nope, it was at Barnes and Noble, and I picked it up because to me it sounded very interesting. It's basically about this killer is going around and killing women who around Copenhagen, and he leaves his calling card, which is a little figure made out of chestnuts, called Chestnut Men. So that's kind of what they start calling him, is, you know, the Chestnut Man. So so it's all about the two detectives who have to try and find him before he kills again. And that's the basic plot of the book. Sorry, I know I'm not that great at giving the plot. So,
what did you like about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I liked about it is I felt that, yeah, it is long. It is over 500 pages if you get the physical copy of the book. Or if you listen to the audio version, it's, what, 16 hours long?
A little over 16 hours.
So it was long, but the chapters were very short, and I felt, I don't know if anyone else felt this way, but I felt it was a fairly easy read. I mean, there were some names in there that were kind of hard to pronounce, not since none of us here are Danish. Right. So there were some names that I'm like, okay, I'm not entirely sure how you would pronounce it. So I kind of had to make it up in my own mind.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I just kind of went with whatever I thought. If there was a particularly hard one, I would shorten it to something that was easier for me to
say. I do the same thing with, like, Lord of the Rings.
So
definitely, because I thought it was an easy read as well, or else I wouldn't have been able to read 155 pages in one day.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I had problems with was the names of the people. But yeah. I'm sure if I was from Denmark, I'd be able to pronounce it like normal.
Yeah, be easier, yeah.
And they'd be looking at our names and
what
is that?
Yeah. So, but I like that it was an easy read. I was very into the story. And I liked that, for me, I didn't see the killer coming. Now, I'm not like my friend Bonnie here, who can pick out the killer from something as simple as a chuckle, okay?
Ace is around the line.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes, that's why I do kind of get annoyed when I can pick out the killer, what I feel is fairly easily. Because then it's like, okay, I'm not the kind of person who can do that. I don't actively try to guess. Maybe sometimes, but not always.
I try to enjoy the story.
But I can't help it. It's how my brain works. I can't stop it if I wanted to.
It has to be fair, though. It can't be the other thing is when you get the information at the very end.
Yeah, yeah.
This one definitely kept you guessing.
Yeah, so that's what I liked. I liked that I wasn't on chapter, because this has 130 chapters because they're so short.
Some chapters are a paragraph.
Yeah, and so it wasn't one of those situations where, like, I'm a tenth of the way through the book and I know who did it, you know?
Oh,
so,
no, I didn't either.
So,
at that point.
When did you figure it out? Chapter 2?
No.
I'm on chapter 99 and I haven't figured it out yet.
Well, what my brain does is everybody's a suspect to begin with, and it just narrows things down.
Yeah.
But the person who was top for, like, the second half of the book, at least, was the one who ended up. And it's the one I really didn't want him to be, that guy. But it was him. But I knew it.
So, yeah. But I liked it. And there were some scenes, I will tell our reader, anyone who listens to this podcast and wants to follow along, there were some scenes that might be some intense for some people.
It was pretty graphic.
There was a torture scene that some people might not be able to handle.
Yeah.
You didn't get there yet.
Yeah, but still, I don't think reading it affects me at all.
It doesn't affect you, Dave. Yeah, it didn't really affect me either. I'm just letting people who might be affected know that that could be a thing. Yeah. But, you know,
there's a couple of things to be triggered over.
Yeah, there are a couple of things to be triggered over. It does discuss child abuse for those who might be triggered by that. But for me, anyway, I was able to not be affected by it, and I was able to read the book and enjoy it for the murder mystery thing that it was.
Right.
And I recently learned that this is going to become a TV show, or it is a TV show, and I could easily see how this could be translated to a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be, but I'll watch it anyway.
Oh my god.
Hopefully it's not going to be like some 2-hour movie. I'm hoping they're going to make it into like a 6-part
Talking about ruining, I started the Netflix Haunting of Hill House. I watched the first 2 episodes. I'm done. Like,
is that bad?
It's so bad. I won't watch it.
No, they changed.
What they did in the first episode, in the book, you have the doctor, you've got Theo, the main characters. They made them all related.
It's back to the book.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, it was a previous book. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, but yeah, my favorite character was actually Hess, because I just like the way he wasn't like he was very insistent when it came to certain aspects of it. Like, no, you need to listen to me. I mean, I know I had my issues, but I'm not just gonna, you know, go to the side, as it were, and let you completely destroy this case. You know what I mean? So yeah. I like that character.
And he fought.
Yeah, he fought for it. And I, like I said, there are certain moments I can't think of what those particular moments were. But
if something
jumps out at me, I will.
Yeah.
But Bonnie?
No.
Wayne's turn. Oh, Wayne, sorry.
Yeah, the disembodied voice. Thank you. One thing I was forewarned, so I wasn't sure I would like about the book, but it turned out I really enjoyed it, was the short chapters. Because each time the author changes chapters, he's changing character point of view.
Yeah.
Switching to a different character. And he also ends most of the chapters on a bit of a cliffhanger. So the chapter is short, and I want to know what happens to that character next. And so I retain information better in this style of writing, myself personally.
Okay.
Because even though it might be 3 to 5 chapters before they got back to that character, my brain is still going, but what's going to happen to them now? You know, and it was just that little slight cliffhanger that you throw at the end that just kept that character percolating until I got to it. And like, okay, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I knew within the first 3 chapters who the killer was going to be, but
were you right?
I was right.
Bonnie came by it naturally.
I didn't have it pegged in the first 3 chapters. I mean, he was my like main suspect, but I liked him a lot, so I didn't want him to be the bad guy.
No, I didn't have within the first 3 chapters. Or first chapter, I guess, thinking back on how it starts, I knew who killed the policeman.
Right. That was in, like, the prologue. Or was it a chapter?
Yeah, it was chapter one.
I was sure that was who the killer was going to be.
Well, yeah, that.
In the modern setting, I didn't know which person.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, dude, Dad, I thought I was the expert here.
I didn't have it that soon.
I know. I wasn't thinking, do we even see that character the first time? I'm trying to recall, like, how soon the actual killer came into.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah, well, they kind of set it up that that's, you know, you kind of assume it's okay, that kid, you know? But
yeah.
You don't know who the kid grew up to be, so you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I enjoyed it for the most part. There were a couple of scenes that were a bit intense for me.
Okay.
Don't read my book.
Especially the...
The torture. Which, if I had read this book beforehand, I would have warned people about. But I had not read it myself, so I couldn't have told anybody. Sorry about that.
So, in fact, at that, I read it, and I read, like... the next couple of chapters that followed, and I ended up putting the book down for like 5 days or more. I just couldn't bring myself to pick it back up and read it.
Yeah.
It almost stalled me in reading the book. So, yeah. But I went ahead and picked it up and finished it. At that point, it was like, I don't know, 6 chapters from the end of the book or something like that. I knew I was almost done. But, so I did like the ending, and they do set it up for another book.
Yes, and I will read it.
I probably will too, because you know, they just the way they set it up and introduced that character, and it makes total sense how they're going to bring the same two cops together on the case. That type of thing, that's the author's problem. That's not my problem. I think, as far as overall characters, he was a little rough around the edges at first. It took me a little bit to get to like him, but Hess was, I think, my favorite character.
Yeah.
I loved his interaction with the kids.
Yeah.
You don't think the gruff detective to be much of a gamer.
Yeah.
Right.
Legal judges.
Yeah. But he's like, oh yeah, I know what you do. This is what you do, you know.
I looked it up. That is a real game.
Legal judges, yeah.
So, but, yeah, overall, you know, I would recommend it, just with the caveat or warning that there is a scene in there that deals with child abuse, and there is a torture scene. So anybody that I tell it about is forewarned.
So
I'll pass it on to whoever's next.
Bunny.
All right. I liked it. There were some. I liked it because yes. Okay. I figured out who it was going to be, and I.
Chapter three.
No, not chapter three. No. But as certain things happened, you had to narrow it down. There's no way some people could have found out information. It had to be someone who was either inside the police or in the law system somehow to find out inside information. So that really narrowed down the possibilities.
I will say, I saw Nylander. He was one of my main successes for a while.
Nylander? Sorry, I literally finished this a month ago.
The chief.
He was one of my suspects, but yeah. He was too...
It wasn't him.
I knew it wasn't him.
Only beating me because I thought he was an idiot, but I thought that might have been an act.
Well, I kind of put that a little bit onto the two that really hated Hess, those the partners. Mm-hmm. And one of them ended up getting killed.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's been so long. I don't remember some of the names or how
to
them. But anyway,
I think Vix was the one that got killed.
Vix
was
the one that got killed.
And then Jansen, I think, was the
partner. Yeah, he was kind of a jackass. But anyway... But he was so mad, and I knew he wouldn't have killed his partner. But I mean, I kind of already eliminated them at that point. You know, I was like, I mean, they could circle back around, but I don't think it's them.
They reminded me
and
of
I was like, it's definitely
not them. New York cops.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I really liked Hess. I really liked.
Given that this was written by a Dane, that's pretty.
Yeah,
weird.
Right.
Well, that was the lady.
Thulin?
Yes.
Thulin.
I liked her.
I'm not sure if it's pronounced Thulin or Thulin. Right. I read it.
I know the audible version. The guy pronounced it Thulin.
Thulin. Okay.
But I think I liked Hess more. I loved the scenes where Hess is trying to paint his apartment. It's so irritating. The guy.
I know.
And she comes in and he's got this whole like. Web of stuff on the wall.
Crazy.
She's like, oh my god.
I love how the guy looked. He's like, it's okay. He's a second cut anyway.
He's like,
oh my god.
I super loved that part. And I mean, he ends up selling it like at the end or whatever.
That was one of my.
The guy was like, hey god, it's him. I don't have to put up this crazy guy anymore.
You gotta match the number. Make sure the paint matches.
Oh my god.
No, you're doing it wrong. Let me put your roar like this.
I love those interactions because it brought a little comedy into a thriller, suspense, mystery, you know.
A little levity is definitely needed.
Yes. Now, the chapters were so short, I could read it even at work every now and again, like on passing period or whatever, you know. So I'm a substitute teacher, so, you know, there were times on my prep period or something like that, but, you know, lunch, whatever, I could actually read a couple chapters here and there. And, or, you know, just at home where I don't remember where I was, but the chapter where, towards the beginning, where the new driver is introduced to the politician.
Yeah.
I had to reread that chapter. Like, I had to reread that scene like four or five times. I kept getting interrupted. I don't think I was at work. I think it was at home. But I kept getting interrupted, like everything. So because I was reading it so many times, I just didn't get through the scene. I didn't pick up on the driver guy at all.
Yeah.
So he was on Justin's radar as the villain from like that scene on. And I mean, he ended up.
Me too.
But I didn't.
It's so convenient that they have a new driver.
That scene got interrupted for me five or six times, and I just finally was like, just get through the chapter really fast and move on. I didn't pick up on it. There was no.
Yeah.
So I wasn't suspecting him at all. So when he ended up, you know, him and his girlfriend, fiance, whatever, being the kidnappers and all this, you know, the side thing, and I was like, it's not them. Oh, they're just that. They're just scapegoats now. They're going to get blamed for all this crap. That wasn't them. I know it wasn't them. And Hess is right. It's not them. Because he wasn't, but like I said, he wasn't even one of my suspects.
Yeah.
So that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. If he did that and that and that. Okay, yeah. He's not the bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a great guy.
He was
a
suspect, but once they kind of like, he was kidnapping the kid, I was like, oh, he's doing something, but he's not going to be the main villain. Like, I could tell just by where it was in the book, I'm like, oh, he's not going to be like the end-all guy.
Yeah, no. One of the scenes that I just love, when they go to the sanitarium to talk to the guy who had confessed.
Oh, Lennox Becker. Yeah.
And I expected him to just literally be a pansy and to just, you know, this patsy, and he just was crazy. And when he...
Crazy smart.
When he suddenly switches from playing crazy, like, to when he just suddenly drops this bomb and they couldn't record it, they have no proof. It's just them, their word against his. And he, you know, basically is like, yeah. And Chestnut Man's not done. And all that. And we're like... And I was like, wait, he isn't... Like, you know, because I really just expected him to be... just a crazy guy who happened to say, yeah, I killed her, whatever, you know, got framed.
Yeah.
The fact that he let himself get framed and he wasn't confessing because he's crazy. He's confessing because he admired the guy and wanted to see what happened. I was like, ah! What? Oh my gosh! I was like, what? So I'm like, because that was something that I didn't expect. Whenever there's something I just, it's completely out of nowhere, I just love it. So I love
thought,
that scene.
I didn't see that coming because I thought not only is he kind of a crazy guy, but oh, he might be a little mentally, like,
he's a megalomaniac.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he might be mildly mentally handicapped or something. So maybe because, like, maybe he genuinely thought he did because they convinced him so much.
Right.
Maybe not complete mental handicap, but maybe a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this poor guy. And then, like you said, that scene, I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, he knows what's going on.
He's not crazy. I mean, he's...
Machete, yeah. I knew that he had plans for me.
Yeah. And you're like, what? What?
What's
no. So, yeah, so when, oh, of course, you know, that's how they set it up for another one, because he gets off because he wasn't the killer, and now he's ready to go kill. And you're like, oh, man, there's going to be another Chestnut Man, because he's totally going to do that.
He wasn't worth the...
Copycat.
Yeah.
He wasn't worth his praise.
Yeah. And so now he's going to go out and do it, and I'm like, great, great. They let this... Now he's a total psychopath, and he's ready. Mm-hmm. He hadn't killed before, but he's ready now. We're not... This is not good. This is not good. Mm-hmm. But, So, yeah, my first favorite character would be Hess. My second favorite would be Tumen. And then probably my third favorite character turned out to be the psychopathic killer, horrible person. But I just liked the side that he showed everybody. And I was like, you know, because he was... Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, but I liked it. I was captivating. It was interesting. At first, I was like, first couple chapters, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then I'm like, wow, this is really great. Okay. You know, so I kept wanting to know what was going to happen. You know, I was captivated. It had me thinking, and I enjoyed it.
I will say, after the first chapter, because since I hadn't read it, I was like, please, Bonnie, don't hate me. Please, Bonnie, don't hate me. Please be a good book. Please be a good book.
It ended up being a good book. I finished it first.
Because I'm waiting for it. I wanted to finish. Because I know I liked it, but I was like, I don't know how Bonnie's going to like it. Don't hate me, Bonnie.
I totally did. I totally did. All right, David, who didn't finish the book, so I've been really careful not to say the name of the actual killer, although I doubt we'll get through the podcast without it. But anyway.
I don't mind. Yeah, I only made it to chapter 99.
Out of 130.
Made it farther than me.
You didn't finish either, Brandon?
No.
But I'd have to say that Hess was also my favorite character, based off of how much I read. I like the fact that it was a long book, but then I also hated the fact that it was a long book. But the part I liked about it was the book was very detailed.
Yeah.
And I probably would have understood it a lot better if I was a little bit more familiar with Denmark. Especially in the Copenhagen area, because I didn't really understand some of the terms.
Right.
But anything that I liked about it, I liked the Pakistani guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so adamant about getting that house painted so he could sell it to get rid of the crazy guy out of there.
Yeah.
It seemed kind of, even though that the Pakistani guy in Denmark, he should be there. Because
people move around,
but still, it's
Commonwealth.
Yeah. And it's mainly Denmark supposed to have Danish people.
They have all kinds of people there.
Oh, I know, but it just seemed like that the Danish people, they're the majority population there, and he was just like, I would hurry up and get him out of this area because he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah,
but I really can't say I had a favorite scene. I probably will after I finish the book.
Yes.
But I just like how detailed it was. What are you trying to sneeze?
He was trying not to sneeze.
Anyway. But yeah, I like Hess. This book kind of reminded me of the show Gotham. Because Thulin reminded me of Gordon, and Hess reminded me of Harvey.
You show me where in this book Batman shows up. I will finish this book tomorrow.
But that's what it reminded me of, because Harvey, he didn't really want to get involved. He just wanted to do his job, get his paycheck.
And Hess was like that.
Yeah,
he just wanted to get out, yeah.
Yeah, and then Thulin was like the real ambitious Gordon. That's what it reminded me of.
Well, I can could see that, yeah. Similar characters.
And then eventually, as Harvey got to know Gordon...
Batman hasn't come in yet. He's going to come in book two. The Joker? He's the Tesla man. Actually, the Joker.
Yeah, Harvey Bullock.
Yes, not Harvey Dent, Harvey Bullock.
Harvey Bullock, okay. And then eventually, as the scenes went on, Harvey like started getting like Gordon, just like how Hess is starting to like Thulin.
Not romantically, just he respects
him. Yeah. It's a standard detective, you know, it's a buddy cop.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah. You know, where you put two people together, Lethal Weapon does it better than I think any other movie.
Probably.
Where you have two guys who don't like each other at the beginning, but by the end, they're family, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it kind of reminded me why I'm sticking with the book. So until then, I don't really have another favorite scene, so I'll let it go to Justin.
Yeah, I like a lot of the scenes that everybody else has mentioned. Tulin's interaction with her boyfriend was kind of comical sometimes.
Her sex slave? I mean, yeah. Sex toy? Like, yeah. She does use him for sex.
She, you know. She goes to his house.
Suspected him for a while.
And is trying to get into his pants. And his walks in.
His father walks in.
That was really awkward.
Yeah.
That was a funny scene.
That was a funny scene.
Are you coming over? No, you have to stay for dinner. You have to.
I can't imagine if, like, I did that, like, oh no, I'm not staying for dinner. That was really very awkward. Don't want to be in that room.
Yeah.
It's Danish, they're okay.
I have to say,
I think it's they're full of cheese.
I liked the fact that the book was very detailed on modern forensics.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there was some great forensics.
And computer analysis and stuff like that, you know. And it was easy to understand the way they did it.
Right.
Also, I like the end of the book, the last few chapters, you know, especially the escape.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was exciting. That was some good stuff.
I mean, I was like, riveted. Like,
Are they going to make it?
No way in the world they're going to get out of this. I'm like, okay, we can kiss this guy goodbye. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He made it.
No, he didn't. Now, but how are we going to find the, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid. Because we know she's there somewhere. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And you find out that the one person isn't, she's kind of a prisoner also.
Uh-huh. Of her brother.
You know? Mm-hmm. But, and so you're wondering now what happened to her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did get charged, but...
Yeah.
But for her, he was controlling her too, so, you know, she
might not be as strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the book. It kept me going. I actually... Some of the violent scenes were a little hard to.
You were listening. I was listening to them.
The guy was really good. The audible version I have. The guy was really good.
He's a British.
British, but yeah, he's really good at pronouncing the names.
See, I'm an auditory learner, so that probably would have affected me more listening to it than reading it, to be honest. So I just read it.
Most of the time, I'm listening to it at work by myself in this big, empty building.
Yeah.
With all kinds of doors that have to be locked and this and that, and the building creaks and the air conditioning comes on.
Yeah.
All right. There's also another thing that I liked about the book was the fact that, yeah, some of the chapters were short, but it was easy to read a quick chapter and then go back, and it's a great, great stopping point.
Yeah.
They didn't break in the audio version. They didn't do the chapter breaks as they are in the book. Like, they broke them up into hours.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you'd get several chapters an hour.
See, for us, it's, you know, there's just a couple of pages.
Right, but it would be weird because I'm listening and all of a sudden you hear 8. And then da 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 da. Like, oh, okay, new chapter. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like some of the chapters in here were only like maybe a page long.
Yeah.
Some of them.
I think the longest chapter was only like maybe 6 to 8 pages.
Right?
That's like on the longer
end. That's a long chapter, yeah.
But here you have one, like, well, two, technically, one front and back.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, if you look at the fact that there's a gap there, that's a gap, basically a page.
You mentioned it on like a page order,
yeah.
All right, Brandon. So,
how far did you get, Brandon?
I got to the painting, the repainting scene.
Oh, that's as far as you got.
That's as far as I got.
Chapter two.
No, it's you know, I'm like, you know, four hours in.
Okay.
So I in my defense, I started a new job.
Yeah, that's true.
Me, I was working overtime at work, and I needed to watch Star Trek Voyagers 5, 6, and 7 less than a month before it left Netflix.
Yeah.
Why don't you own it on DVD? That's a conversation for another day. All right.
So, let me see the book. What you liked, what you thought through.
I want to read the first chunk of the first chapter. It was... red and yellow leaves drifted down through the sunlight onto the wet asphalt, which cut through the woods like a dark and glossy river as the white squad car tears past. They're spun briefly in the air before coming to the rest in a sticky clump along the edge of the road. I heard that while standing in the woods.
Nine.
Like, I am literally in the woods. Like, oh, this is okay.
Nice.
Were you listening to it?
Yeah, and on my phone at work.
So how come you didn't finish the rest of the book then?
I didn't have time.
My job.
I didn't finish the rest of the book either.
Yeah, but I told you my excuse.
Yeah,
my job doesn't allow me to listen to long hunks.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
A little bit here, a little bit there. But there's a moment in the first chapter where the detective gets killed. He sees the clump of leaves and he goes, oh, I need to call somebody about that. Like, that felt really like it's going to cause an accident.
Yeah.
I've seen it before. Like, that felt like really human. Like, that detective who, unfortunately.
I know, I liked him and then he dies.
It's very stereotypical of the detective who dies like a week before he's supposed to retire.
Yeah.
And that hurt, that whole scene, because he dies and I'm sitting there going, like, he never had the conversation with his wife. His wife is going to go through this entire funeral thinking it was his last week on the job.
Yeah.
Like, it's a character that you don't get that much interaction with, you know? But I kept thinking about this poor cop.
Oh, I know.
Who, he intentionally went out to the farm to avoid having a fight with his wife. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, I,
you know. Let that be a lesson. Go home and talk to your wife and don't try to dilly-dally you like a kiddle. Right? Listen to your wife.
Listen to like, you know, and I found myself when he's describing the argument, like, I'm like, retire. You know?
Stop petting the cat. He's a talker.
Yeah. So it, like, that first chapter, I probably listened to two or three times. That whole first chapter is really well written. It's a really good hook. It also leads into one of my major complaints for the next round. But, you know, I really enjoyed that character who dies in the first chapter. But also, it sets up how really good the author is at writing character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he gives you details and makes these people feel human, really fleshed out. Like, we know characters' favorite video games. We know, you know, like, we know details of these
characters. And none of them are perfect. They all have flaws. And you see them right up front.
Like, this author's really good at writing characters.
Believable human
characters. Yes. So I really enjoyed that aspect of the novel. Like, the guy who gets frustrated with the painting over the roller and not matching the code so it's the same white.
Yeah.
Like the Pakistani guy.
Yeah.
I like him.
You know, it's like there's things in this book that are just absolutely relatable, absolutely human.
Yes.
And you don't expect that in something that's kind of an action thriller.
Yeah.
You know. So, like, I would say it's very well written.
The characters are believable.
Like, yes.
you might even see something in someone like, I know that guy, or I know that, right, person who likes to do that, or hates that, or whatever.
Now, somebody who works maintenance, like, I understand about matching the freaking pants.
Right.
Like, that wall needs to be the same way.
Right.
Yeah. And the paper on the floor and all that, because I know painting at work with volunteer labor. Like, dude, you at least do it right. Because it's worth doing right, you know? But no, they never do.
Dislikes.
Qualms, concerns, issues.
Well, I didn't have too many dislikes. A lot of my dislikes are just personal things about, you know, like, from me. Like, it's always difficult when I read a book that it was originally a different language. Because of the names. Mm-hmm. And again, nothing to do with the book itself or the author.
Right.
It's just when there's a name that's hard for me to pronounce, or then it's like I end up having to skim over that name, and I always feel like I'm one of those people that I have to read every word in my head. That's why it takes me so long to read a book.
Right.
So it's like, oh, I skipped over that word, and I want to do justice to that name, but I can't, you know, so it's like, so, but I mean, again, that has nothing to do with the author, the writer. It's all due to the fact that it's a Danish book. So,
yeah.
I kind of, Dave said, it's like, I just wish I knew a little bit more about the landscape of Denmark, because it's like, you know, places, I'm like, I feel so bad. Those places mean nothing to me, you know.
Last night, she's finishing it up, and she goes,
Odin.
He fell asleep in Odin. I'm like, the god? Like, you know? Like,
I'm like, where is Odin? I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's Odin Park? Like, you know, I mean, I'm sure if I, you know.
Oh, by the way, there's an Odin Park in Texas.
Yeah, apparently. Because I asked our.
Did they serve mead?
I asked our Echo Dog. I was like, hey, where's Odin Park? And they're like, oh, Texas. I'm like, that's not the one I'm looking for.
Who's Odin Park? Denmark.
Right? And it's like, oh, I didn't realize I had to narrow it down. Okay.
Right.
But,
there's a couple teachers at our school with that last name. So,
yeah. Right? So, but yeah, it's all a little stuff like that. The torture scene was a little hard for me to get through, but again, that's just me. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever read in a book, so it wasn't terrible, but at the same time, there was a moment I was like, okay, ooh, wow, that's rough. Okay, keep going, get past that part, you know.
You guys are
going to
hate my book, man.
So, but yeah, it was just all a little thing. It wasn't like anything that made me, oh, this is a terrible book, or oh, I hate this part, you know.
Yeah.
Just all little right. things. Go ahead.
Wayne,
go ahead.
Okie dokie. For me, I didn't like the child abuse scenes.
Yeah.
Especially when they found the basement tapes. That one really bothered me. And I didn't like the scene at all where he cuts off her hand and starts to work on the next one. And then it goes to the next chapter.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, this was a character that, you know, the author made sure we cared about.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you, you know, what her struggles were and things as a political figure, and, you know, it's like, no, they're supposed to rescue her before something really terrible happens to her, but they didn't. So that scene was, like I said, I put the book down and I almost didn't pick it up again and finish it.
Well, that's a fair criticism.
Because of that scene. So so like I said, it took me almost a week before I picked the book up again and started reading. So that's the part I didn't like. Bonnie?
When they talked about the content of the videos, that was really graphic. I could have done without knowing that much detail.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been okay. Just knowing that it was...
what it was.
It, yeah, that it was really, really bad child abuse. They didn't need to go to the details, and I would have been fine with that. But I really didn't... I mean, aside from that...
In that case, less is more.
Yeah, I felt like it would be, yeah. Less would have definitely been more in that instance. But, you know, it's... I don't know. A lot of, you know, other things were also, you know, graphic. But I didn't like the torture scene. And, you know, you want her to be saved before, you know, he starts sawing on her. But, you know, that didn't happen. So, it is what it is. But I didn't really have, aside from just some of the content was a little more detailed than it needed to be. just those kind of things. That's really cool.
The sex scenes lean into almost erotica.
Yeah. Yeah. That didn't necessarily have to be like that either. But, anyway, yeah.
Wow, we just got some visually graphic content from Bonnie right now.
You might want to explain that because it just talked about erotica.
No. I just flipped off my tablet because
she got mad and flipped off.
Because it's just like froze, and I was trying to find for later, trying to pull up my copy of The Chestnut Man because I had a couple notes that I want to read on the last, not negative things.
Oh, okay.
So my negative things, that's it. Okay, David, negative things.
All right, I'd have to ask the group in general if you guys think there's something wrong with me because I'm the only one who's unaffected by any of the stuff in the book.
David, you're just not affected by any of the stuff in any of the books you read because you're more hardened than us. It's okay.
I get it. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Because, yeah. I just think there are some things, I think there might be some things that would be really hard for you to read that might not be, I mean, necessarily affect us some. I mean, I haven't
found it yet.
Maybe if there's like a cat abuse scene or something, maybe that might trigger something for you.
But and on a show, when someone kicks a cat, he gets really pissed.
Yeah, so it just means it's different things for you. It doesn't mean...
I think you're really good at separating...
Yeah, it means you're better at separating fictional stories from actual things than some of us might be.
Like, I will say this about you, Dave. This is going to roll off topic. You're very analytical. Like, you always go to the... analytics, and you don't necessarily think about the emotional impact of stuff.
So, which...
Okay.
And I'm not saying that as a complaint or an argument, I'm just saying that's your default setting.
I'm just wondering if that's just an attention span.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't think it has to have ADHD, but anything like that.
I think it just means, like, you're like, okay, this is a book. It's make-believe. It's fake. It's not going to affect me.
No one was actually harmed in the
making. Yeah, no one was actually harmed in the book.
I'm one of those people who get emotionally attached to all sorts of things. I'm very emotional.
Oh, yeah. I was a kid who was crying at cartoons.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, after you, I'm probably the next... I'm similar to that, but not maybe as much as you. Like, it probably affects these two more than it affects me. It affected me a little bit, but not, like, to the point where I'm like, oh, God, I got to stop this book, you know. I was able to
keep going. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, no offense to you, Wayne, that I go, wow, I mean, you guys are kind of pansies. It's just a book.
But, I mean, you know, some people are like that, some aren't. Just...
because the only reaction that I had to say to someone in the scenes was, oh, wow, that sucks. And then I went on.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. And then, but getting back to the negatives of the book, the only thing that I really just didn't like, even though I said I liked it in the like part, was the length, but the bad part of it was the length as well. I just thought the book was really long for my taste, but and the fact that the names of the places and the names of the people, but I mean, like I said, this was a book translated into English, so I can't blame them for that. I just kind of blame my own intellect for not being able to understand it.
So. Melina and I were talking about this earlier. The translation's really well done.
I know it is, but
like, they get a lot of the idioms right. They get a lot.
I kind of blame myself for not being able to understand it.
Hmm. That's kind of with me, too. I mean, I don't understand how to pronounce any of the names.
Yeah.
It's just a stab in the dark. It's like, oh, Thulin, okay, whatever.
You know? Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, Justin, it was pronounced Thulin, and I just read it like an American, and it sounded like Thulin to
me. Yeah, yeah.
Thulin.
So I blame me being an American and being a low intellectual person for not being able to understand.
I wouldn't say you're low intellectual, just you're unfamiliar with the culture.
Yeah. I just hate myself I dislike myself for not being able to understand their book better. But other than that, I really don't have any dislikes about the book at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I plan on finishing it since Star Trek is over.
Yeah.
Is Star Trek ever over?
Star Trek Voyager ended because, I mean, they
took it off Netflix.
Yeah, they took it off Netflix and they said, oh, it's going to be discontinued on Netflix on October 1st. And I'm like, shit, I'm almost done with season 5. I still have season 6 and season 7 to go in less than 3 weeks.
I'm sure it'll be on, what's the one with all the Star Trek? The one with Paramount.
I don't know.
Oh, CBS.
We'll enjoy our vlogging for Paramount.
But, that's what I was stuck on for 3 weeks, watching, almost 50 episodes of Star Trek. That's why I didn't get caught up with the book. So, other than that, I don't really have anything bad to say about the book. So, go ahead, Justin.
I don't really have any dislikes on the book. I will admit some of the violent scenes were a little rough, but all in all, I didn't really have any dislikes.
That's about all you could say.
Yeah, Brandon.
I don't want to step on Jesus' toes.
Fine.
All right. This is a purely audible experience only. In between chapters 1 and 2, there's a little page that says Monday, October 5th, present day.
Yeah.
Either that's not in the audio version or I missed it. And so I jumped into chapter 2 thinking we're still in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then it's when in the middle of chapter 2 they mentioned League of Legends. And I'm like, wait a minute. We were just talking about Gorbachev and the wall.
Yeah.
And from then on, I had to talk to Melina about this. From then on, I was confused every time it changes chapter because there's several chapters.
It gives the day and the date and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's audible.
It doesn't give the day and the date. It just goes, you're sitting there and it goes, you know, 5. And they're like, okay, new chapter. So, in the audio version, I had to talk to Melina. I'm like, do we ever go back to the 80s? Because every time we start a new chapter, I'm like, is this the 80s?
There's no flashback. It's just that one chapter. And I feel like, that's why I was like, was that chapter 1? Because it was more of a prologue.
Yeah.
If I had been the person helping with the translation, I would have put that as a prologue to the book, not as first chapter.
First chapter.
Because everything else is... Now
it sets the stage really well.
It does set the stage really well, but yes, it felt like a prologue, not a chapter.
But every chapter, I'm sitting there going, like, is this the 80s? Is this now? Is this 80s? Is this now?
It's all now.
And I'm having to do like context clues.
At first, he didn't tell me why. He's like, this is so confusing. And at first, I didn't realize what he was talking about. I go, just keep reading. You'll start to know the characters. And then it wasn't until today he's like, how many chapters are the 80s ago? Just the first part.
I think that was a mistake on the audio part.
Yeah, because I was completely.
I didn't realize that was a problem.
Because whoever was reading it, they should have, like, at the end of a section, they'll go to the next section and then they'll say the date, October, whatever, present day.
I needed that, like, because I was so lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting frustrated. I was getting angry.
That was a problem with the audio reader then, not actual book.
We have the same audio. Did you hear any dates or
anything? I don't know if we have the same one or not because I don't remember having that problem.
Because we're audible. We're the same.
Yeah, but there's a couple. I think there were two different
ones.
Justin has the good one.
All right.
You have the free ones.
No, I paid for it.
Justin uses his credit for the
That's what I do too, but it's like...
The one I have was narrated by Peter Noble.
Mm. Who do you have, Brent?
Let me find out.
But I could see how that would be how that would be confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't know.
Yeah. If you don't know the time change.
My version. Every now and again, they'll come in with a date and time, because several days have passed. So they let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Like I was so lost,
but
I have a hard time pulling it up. But
it probably isn't the same one then.
Click here. And
title details. Those are
Well, if that's your only
That's more of a bad thing about the audio version
Like I spent this whole book on the third of it that I read that through, so confused and so lost.
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating. It was a very frustrating experience. Because again, I'm sitting there going, every time they jump to another chapter, I'm like, is this the 80s? Is this now? Is this 80s? Is this now? And then even then, like in chapter 2, you get a League of Legends reference, and then he mentions a Commodore 64. So I'm like, what decade are we in? because I'm lost.
We're in present day,
18 or 19. So, like, that was my big complaint, was I was just lost. And I could have really used those context. I was having to use context clues that something should have been spelled out.
Not the context in the reading version, not the audio version.
Yeah.
So I think the book was just fine.
Yeah.
The audio was just it needed some editing.
Right. So, final thoughts.
I would say definitely, at least in my opinion, worth a read. It is a bit lengthy, like we've all mentioned a little bit earlier, but at the same time, I don't feel like it had a ton load of details that were not needed. You know, sometimes when you read a book and you're like, okay, all these details were not needed. They spent an hour describing the color of someone's hair and you just want to move on, you know? And it's like, it might have been a little lengthy. Maybe it could have been cut short here and there, but for the most part, I don't think there were too many, like, extraneous details, you know. I would probably say
trying to remember that you were talking about things being too lengthy, and I'm thinking, I remember something about that very recently. Different book.
But I would say between a 9 or a 10 out of 10, somewhere between there. I would definitely recommend it. Wayne, keep doing that.
Final thoughts?
If you are into serial killers, crime thrillers, that type of thing, you'll enjoy the book.
Absolutely.
You know? It's right up your alley. So, if scenes of torture bother you, probably not your book.
Right. Or at least...
There's only one towards the end.
I was going to say, or at the very least, beware of chapter 117.
But also the child abuse chapter. That was really graphic.
Yes.
That bothered me more than the torture. To be honest. They do describe, if you watch like CSI and stuff like that, Girl in Lines, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
it would be fine. You know, if that's your cup of tea, you'll be fine. But describe the various murder scenes for you too. So if you're a little squeamish, it might not be for you. Yeah. Sorry, what else are you saying, Papa?
That
was it.
Was pretty much it, I think.
What would you rate the book?
I enjoyed the writing very much.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably give it an 8.
Fair. Out of 10.
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay.
Bonnie.
I liked it there. Okay, so you were talking about idioms, and I actually made a note. I didn't just highlight, I made a note. So in chapter 65, he says, by the time Hess has gotten through 40 odd reports from the last 6 months anonymously suggesting intervention, he's fed up to the back teeth. It's been altogether more time-consuming than he'd imagined, taking nearly 2 hours, blah, 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 blah. Fed up to the back teeth. I highlighted it and put, is this the original saying? Because we just say, we're fed up.
Yeah.
But fed up to the back teeth. That implies that you're so full, your esophagus is full, and there's food at the back of your mouth you can't even swallow. I'm like, that's pretty descriptive. Fed up to the back teeth. Okay. Yeah. I've never heard it said that way. It's just, I'm fed up.
Me neither, yeah.
But, you know, we're Californians. We shorten things anyway. So I don't know, you know, it just made me wonder, is that what the original saying was, and just we've just shortened it here in America, or is it just that it's a similar saying to what we say and they just say it longer?
That saying dates back to the early 19th century, apparently.
Okay, so that probably is, the original saying. They may still use it this day in Denmark, but we just say fed up. So it's one of those things that I just found interesting. So I made a note. So that's just a side note. It was just my little added things. I would probably give it, 8 or 9. Probably 9. Mm-hmm. It was an easy read. It was captivating. It was a crime thriller. You know, you got a serial killer. There's blood. There's violence. There's cussing. It's gritty. But it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there were a few parts that I didn't enjoy as much as the other parts. And I've been really careful not to say who did it, but let me just say that he was really, really, you know, twisted and all that. But the side that he showed to all his friends and stuff, I really liked. And so I was really mad a little bit. But I knew it was going to be him, and I didn't want it to be him. But it was him. But anyway, so those of you who didn't finish, it was a guy.
Maybe you told me.
I told you.
We got to the point where I was like, I'm not going to finish this.
Just tell
me what happened.
So I was just like, and the thing is, now I need someone to go back and read some of the early stuff
to see if you can catch.
To see if I could catch more. But he left certain things out, obviously. But he totally still did his job and still, like, gave them just enough clues as he's doing it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's things he omitted, obviously, to keep from being caught. But over the course of it, there's, you know, it's not like he omitted everything.
Yeah.
He just, they had to fit the clues together. You know? Yeah, yeah. So.
You know, but like, this is all to see here.
He's good. I mean, he's twisted. And when you see his backstory, well, it's understandable. At the same time, like, dude, really? Not necessary. But anyway. But I mean, you know, he's a psychopathic killer, so, you know, they're not usually, you know, the kind of person you want to be friends with anyway. But, that being said,
you don't want to be friends with me anymore?
Maylene, we should talk later. Anyway, all right, David, final thoughts.
I enjoyed what I read. I'm probably 3/4 of the way through the book. I'm on chapter 99. But, yeah, I definitely recommend the book. It definitely reminds me of something like a Criminal Minds on, like, mm-hmm. several episodes. Yeah. It's that kind of dark and gritty. Mm-hmm. So if you like that type of show, you'll definitely like the book. There is a Netflix show of based The Chestnut based off of the book, and I can't wait for it to show up because I'll definitely watch it.
It's coming out later this month, I think. Coming out.
I'll definitely watch it.
And it'll probably be out before we upload the
podcast.
And I'll definitely finish the book. I just didn't have time to finish it for personal reasons. But I'd say out of a 10 rating, I give it a solid 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Justin.
Definitely watch it. Not watch it.
Read it.
Read it. Read it. Listen to it. Then watch it. Maybe not in that order. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely, if you like the serial killer crime thing, it's definitely right up there. I'd probably give it 8 or 9, too.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know?
I'm louder.
Can think or talk. Can't do both.
So an 8 or a 9 from you, huh?
Yeah.
Brandon, so what you read?
I'm not a valid opinion because I've only gotten a third of the way through. I will just put that out there. It, from what I've heard about the child abuse and stuff, this would not be something for me.
Yeah. It's not a big part of it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Just two chapters.
Yeah, so I think if that is something that you're sensitive to, this might not be a good read for you.
Right.
But from everything else, it sounds like a really good.
It is, like they said, only two chapters. Not that, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just letting anyone know that it is a very small portion of the book.
Yeah. So
but it is graphic. So you might want to skip that part if you're going to finish the book.
So,
skip a few pages. Like, just skip the rest of the chapter. You don't need to get the rest of the chapter.
What chapter was the child
abuse? I don't remember. I have to look it up.
It's when they find the photos and they, or the videos that talk about what.
The hidden room, whatever it was.
So you remember the very beginning in the 80s when he goes down and he gets, and the police officer gets killed?
Yeah.
There's videotapes of what happened to the girl down there.
Okay. But when did that happen?
And that comes apart way later in the book. So it's past chapter. It's in the hundreds.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So I haven't read the child.
You haven't read that part yet.
There's also the child abuse of the young boy.
Yeah, yeah, that part too.
Yes.
Where Hess gets the crap beat out of him in the face. Yeah.
Yes, there's that too. But the videos are the part that was too much for me.
Yeah.
But it was short, so I could move on.
Yeah. So that's you know basically all I have to say.
All right. So
who's drawing the book?
I'm going to draw.
All right. Make it a good one.
There's only like three in there.
I know. All right.
Yeah.
Now there's more than three. I only have three books. There's like five in here. Then who added?
We did not add anything.
No.
Let me have.
When are the end
of 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four.
How come I only have three books?
I don't know.
Well, three of those are yours.
No,
because he bought all the books that were in
there.
To The Walking Drum.
That's mine.
Okay. The Walking Drum.
Bye.
Louis L'Amour.
All right.
Oh, another Louis L'Amour.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
you put that in there?
Yeah, I put that in there. Yeah.
I assume Louis L'Amour. I thought
suggested by David.
Yep. Louis L'Amour, The Walking Drum, is Louis L'Amour's first and only fantasy novel.
Oh.
It's a historical fantasy. It's definitely not a Western.
Sorry, you mentioned fantasy. I heard this great story of this little kid who goes up to a library and he has a romance book.
Yeah.
And he's asking the librarian about the book. What is this? He goes, it's a romance book. It's about love. He goes, is there dragons in it? No. Then what's the point?
Yeah, why do you have this book?
So, yeah, we're done then.
Right. Yeah, that's it. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
So, I hope you liked The Chestnut Man. That was The Chestnut Man. Our next book is The Walking Drum by Louis L'Amour. Western classic. You know, part of a book club is trying stuff you wouldn't normally try. And I'm not a Western guy. I'm not a Louis L'Amour guy, just, you know, off the bat. But I've come to really enjoy his writings through book club. And I hope you will, too. I hope you join us. These are going to come out pretty quick. Just because we have a bit of a backlog to get through. We've been recording all along. I hope you enjoy these episodes. That was The Chestnut Man. Next up is The Walking Drum by Louis L'Amour.